Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Welcome everyone to episode 179 of It Burns When I Pee, and we are lucky enough to have a young lady in the dirtiest stalls, and this young lady I've known for about 4 or 5 years now, and we're just now getting her on the show. I'd like to welcome to the show Pearls Mahone.
Hey everybody, how's everybody doing tonight?
Wow.
Thank you so much for having me, Blake.
That was a lot more exciting and exuberant. That was a great intro. So I want to welcome you to the show. We were talking a little bit before, and I think we've planned this 2 or 3 times over in the past and just never worked out, but we got you on now, and we're here to talk about not only you as an artist, but also about your new album, Echoes from the Prairie.
Yes, I'm really excited. I have something to talk about now. Before, it was just playing a lot of local shows and maybe going here and there, but nothing really to promote besides touring. So I'm happy to have some new music and an album and some vinyl coming out finally.
All right. Well, let's start off with the basics and work our way up to talking about the album. What age did you start singing?
It had to be like in elementary school. It's when I started really thinking that I had, you know, a decent voice, and then, you know, joined the school choir in middle school. So, you know, about 10, I'd say between like 8 and 10, I started singing. And then suddenly the middle school choir wasn't good enough, and I had to quit.
Oh.
And I had to go to church choir, because church choir was more organized and more, you know, I don't know, cut and dry. I think that I was looking for some structure and some real meat and potatoes kind of singing, you know?
Sure.
So I got a lot of part singing and harmonizing, introductions through church, and then continued into high school and started doing my choir and doing solos and So doing a lot of show tunes,
sure.
a lot of classical, a lot of opera, you know, a lot of like kind of avant-garde kind of stuff, you know, in high school and then college. I majored in vocal performance and music ed. So once I graduated, I pretty much did the music teaching stuff and eventually got to play with the band. So I'm like a late bloomer when it comes to playing in live music band,
sure.
you know. So I'm happy that my journey took me where it did.
Sure.
And you know, I'm happy to be doing music now as an adult.
Right.
Because I don't know if it would have been very good as a child or a teenager. Who's really is, you
right.
know, but...
Well, and you have something that a lot of people don't have, a lot of that educational, you know, the learning and the singing and the technique and everything. So I would think that yours, your vocal, how you do it, I guess, would be more technical, would you say?
Yeah, my learning was real good.
You get real good learnings. Was there anybody in your... What was that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I got good learning in college and proper singing. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't really think about
sure.
your technique. And you're just singing and you're belting away, which is kind of my style. But I do have, like, kind of like a classical kind of tone or a classic tone. A lot of people tell me,
sure.
you know, like it reminds them or nostalgia kind of thing. So I think that's attributed to how I was brought up and raised in kind of the music community and the community that I was a part of.
Sure. So, you know, who inspired you to take kind of the Western swing crooner kind of style of singing that you're doing?
Well, I really loved Kathy Klein. My grandma listened to her, and I, you know, had always known of her, heard of her, and as I started to kind of, when I was pushing all that away, you know, as a teenager and rebellion, you know, it was always in the back of my head of, you know, Patsy Cline and like kind of like the classics and Loretta Lynn. And so when I went through like this circle of subcultures, you know, going from ska and reggae, which I still listen to, and, you know, rockabilly, psychobilly, and I was like, okay, you know, kind of getting into this rootsy Americana stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of circled back and found her again. And of course, you know, everybody says like the typical Johnny Cash and things like that for country, but Western swing, it just took me a while to kind of find it. And of course, it's Bob Wills that I really enjoy listening to the Hot Club of Cowtown when I saw them at City Winery, because it's been so many years that I've wanted to see them, and they're a three-piece, and they're just amazing. And Elena James is the front woman, and she also plays fiddle. And it was just an awesome experience. And I think she kind of really inspired me to kind of go back to singing and crooning instead of hollering and yelling, which I was doing a lot in the early stages and the forms of Pearls Mahone and the One-Eyed Jacks.
Sure.
I just felt that doing a lot of that. And so, you know what, I'm taking this new kind of turn and really like embracing my voice. And I have a big voice and I like to belt here and there, but it's nice to croon and sing as well.
Sure. You know, and you talked about how, you know, you were in choir and such. What's the difference between, you know, singing with a choir and, you know, getting on stage and being in front of a band and playing? Is there a big difference, like adrenaline wise, or how you go about preparing for it?
I think the goosebumps are always there. You know, there's the energy between the people you're on stage with or the people that you are in a band with. Whether it's a, you know, the choir situation, I really love how vocally singing with other people. In my band, now that I have some females in there, now I'm having some backup vocals. I'm the lead, and they're harmonizing with me, but what I really loved growing up was, you know, the vocal harmonies and that ring that you get when everybody's on pitch and everybody's together, and it's kind of like this rush. So in a way that singing with the choir, I miss that feeling because it's a little bit different than singing on stage, of course, you know, with a band and to an audience, but with singing, the pluses of singing with a band in front of an audience is you get that energy from them and their response to your music.
Sure.
And especially in front of a crowd that's maybe heard of you but not heard you.
Right.
And alive, oh my gosh, people are like, oh, that's so great. And you get to hear the cheers right away and the people just calling out and saying things. And that's always exciting. And you can have that banter back and forth, which I really like.
Sure.
So I think both of them have their special qualities and always goosebumps. You always get goosebumps singing with both. But I do miss the choral aspect of creating harmonies and being a harmony part more, you know, as far as the choir is concerned. So, but both are equally special, and I love singing in both types of avenues.
Awesome. Well, you recently did like a small tour in Texas and New Mexico, I think. You know, how did that tour go?
That tour was fun. It was really cold, though. I was kind of mad. It was cold in Texas, and New Mexico didn't end up getting to happen, so I'm hoping to go back there one day, you know, someday
sure.
soon. But it was freezing in the desert. There was snow, there was ice, but other than that, it was great. We were touring around from El Paso and, you know, starting on the west end of Texas and moving towards central Texas, and went from, let's see if I can do it off the top of my head. We went to El Paso, started there, and then we went to Coleman, Texas, which was a little tiny town, you know, in the middle of nowhere, kind of in West Texas. And then we shot up to Lubbock. We went to Waco area. We went to Dallas and Fort Worth. And then we went to Austin. I think I got them all covered. It was an amazing time. It was cool to play in so many new parts of Texas. I've only been to Austin. I got to see my great aunt while I was down there, which was awesome, seeing some family that I haven't seen in years. And just playing in front of audiences that were excited to hear me and excited to see somebody from Chicago singing
sure.
country and western music and rockabilly music and blues music. I was well received, and so I was very happy to be there.
Awesome. And I mean, like you said, you know, that they were, you know, down there you hear more western swing than you do, you know, up north, I guess. And so, you know, the crowds that you play for, you know, when you play in Chicago and stuff, people that know you, obviously you're well received there. But is there a difference in the crowds, you know, in the southern states as opposed to up north?
Maybe a little bit older.
Right.
In the south, in Texas, I think people, you know, in Chicago, the certain venues that we do have that respect and, you know, accept Americana, like let's just say, or roots music, you know, are more in the rock and punk venues.
Sure.
And so going to a Hunter's bar in Coleman, Texas, I was like, is there chicken wire? Because I'm going to get beer bottles thrown at me because I'm a Yankee and I'm singing this music.
Right.
So it was like, I was scared. I was scared to play that. That was my second show. And I was like, oh, goodness. But it was great. It was awesome. They loved me. We had a couple flubs because it was the first time my whole lineup for the entire tour was together. But you know what? They were so accepting of me. They loved me. They said, come back. We'll have a better crowd next time. You know, and they bought, like, all of my koozies.
Oh, there
well,
you
not go. All of them. My I'm a Fucking Lady koozies that everybody's, like, going wild over. I love these things. They went wild for them, too. And it was an older kind of crowd. It was great.
Awesome.
I was so excited that they, you know, accepted me for what I was and
sure.
like the music. And they're like, that's a little different. You know, it's not strictly Western swing. It's not strictly rockabilly. It's
right.
not, you can't really put your finger on it, but
sure.
you know, it's kind of in that general area.
Sure. So, you know, as you go and do these tours and you go out more and more, are you kind of learning the ins and outs of touring?
Yeah, I think sort of. I'm really, Zachary, who went on tour with me that plays guitar, Zach Sweeney,
mm-hmm.
he was playing with Wayne for a few years, and I had him play on the album. I flew him out to play on the album, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to Texas. Do you want to play with me? And he's like, yes, of course. And so I flew him out to Texas, and, you know, he had learned my music and whatnot. he's just like, you're so nice. I was just like, thank you. I'm like, well, being with, you know, artists that are a little bit bigger, like Wayne or Lucky Todd, you know, sometimes it's a fresh breath of fresh air to be,
sure,
number one, a woman, number two, you know, somebody that's maybe a little bit more down to earth.
Sure.
So I was excited to have Zach with me. And he helps me because he's toured so much.
Sure.
You know, and he kind of gives me advice and ideas. And just a sweetheart kid. So we get along well because we both come from a good place and a place of yes and not, you know, not a place of like, no, I don't want to or I don't care.
Right.
So he's in my corner, which I felt good about.
Sure.
And it's just making sure that all those people that I decide to kind of contact and bring in, that we're all on the same page, that we're all organized, that we're all on top of our business and
sure,
things like that. That's the one thing I've learned, is making sure that everybody's on the same page, and communication is just totally important.
Definitely. So, you know, you actually obviously have a day job, which kind of limits your tour, you know, how long you can go out. Do you ever see yourself, you know, doing the full time touring, or is it do you like having that day job and the breaks in between?
I mean, the way that I sing is different, I guess, than other people sing. And when I did go out in June for a whole month in Europe, I did great. My voice held up. We were singing just about every day, maybe off like 2 days in a row, but maybe that happened once, but I was really, it was kind of a test to see how my voice would hold up, because I use it so much. I'm a teacher anyway, so I use my voice all day singing. And so, I don't know, like full time, like every day of the week, or, you know, weekly, singing weekly, one or two times a week, three times a week. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I can really afford to do that.
Sure.
Especially with a band of my size, too. I have 6 to 7 players with me. It doesn't quite make sense to drag people out, you know, every day or every week unless I can pay them a salary.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like a couple of the other female fronted bands that I talked to, Davina and the Vagabonds, she says, you know, I salary my players. And I was like, that's awesome. I'm glad you're in a place that you can do that, you know, but
right,
I'm not signed to the label. I don't have these certain things in place. So I think right now where I'm at, I love teaching, and I teach like babies. So it's like the best job ever. It's happy every day. I'm having a great day. They're having a great day. They're loving music. I think I'm in a good place right now, and I can afford to do what I want to do as far as, you know, flying out someplace and not have to drive all the way out there and back. You know, it's just the style that I do, and the amount of people that I need. I don't know if I can do full time touring, but I'm open to it. I'm, you know, totally, you know, open to a lot of different avenues, and we'll see what happens. I think that this is a new door that's opening, a new page that's turning in the Book of Pearls. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm open to a lot of different things, but I'm in a good place right now, and I love what I do. And this school is pretty awesome because I have a 2-week fall break, a 3-week winter break, a 2-week spring break, and 2 months off in the summer. So it's like I can get out more often,
sure,
I feel, with this schedule. So that's why I have the spring tour coming up in the Midwest, and then possibly going out to California for the first time. I've never even been there for Ink and Iron. Was talking to those guys about going out there for that in June. So it's like, you know, things are kind of, you know, popping up where I can get out a little bit more frequently.
Sure.
And that's what I think that needs to happen first.
Sure.
So.
And those, you know, those small 2-week stints, you know, that might just be the perfect way to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's going to be getting me more exposure, and it's going to be really good for getting to different parts of the country. Like I haven't done the Deep South. I haven't done the East Coast. And I haven't done the West Coast. So I think that the Midwest has heard me, a little bit of the Plains, a little bit of Texas, you know, so now I'm going to start, you know, strategizing what to do and where to go and who wants to have me, you know what I mean?
Awesome. So who are some of your biggest influences in your life outside of music?
Well, I'm not like a super, I don't want to say like a Bible beater, but I am religious. I'm spiritual. So I'm always going to say that, you know, that God and Jesus are right up there. And I've been going to church for all my life. And I had a wonderful family life growing up. My mom and my dad have been my best friends. My mom is like my BFF and totally supports me. Ruth Mean, my number one cheerleader, you know, would go to the ends of the earth for me. You know, and I'm so grateful that I have such a wonderful family because I know that not everybody has that.
Right.
And I have to say that, you know, with faith and love, that's completely been the number one things that have supported me in my life. So my family has been always there for me and never turned their back on me, no matter what kind of stupid decisions I made. And I'm very grateful for that. So I would say definitely faith and love for my family.
Awesome. So, you know, you're in the Chicago area, and did you grow up there?
Yes, born and raised in the south suburbs. I live in Oak Forest, right next to Joshy P. He lives across the street from me.
Awesome.
And so I'm very close next door neighbors to him, pretty much, and born and raised here.
So, what's some of the best things you like about Chicago, and what's some of the worst things you like least about it?
Well, I love looking at my city. Like every time I'm taking the expressway in or coming back down south through the city, I love looking at it. I always want to take pictures of it. It's just a good, long, you know, huge city. It's just expansive and it's beautiful to look at. There's tons of things to do here. It's like you can't be bored here.
Right.
If you're bored, I don't know what your problem is. Right. If you have like a depression or something, because every single music style is here. You can go anywhere in here, like any type of music, if you just search for it and hunt for it. So many cultural things here. Chicago has just brought me up in such a wonderful way, and I love that. You know, and in those respects, you can do anything pretty much you want, go see anything. There's museums, there's culture, there's music, there's great people, for the most part. The negatives are the crime. I'd
sure.
say the crime sucks, and so does, you know, my drive isn't too bad. I live about 30 minutes outside the city. But I've been making this trek to the city since I was 16.
Sure.
You know, getting on the highway and going to the city and searching out adventures. So, you know, I miss the quietness because I did live in the city as well. And I just miss, you know, peace and getting away from it, all that sometimes. But that's what sometimes going on tour is for. So
definitely.
Getting out and getting away from a big city, or, you know, going into some rural towns, that's my favorite. So getting away from the city is just as good as, you know, being in the city sometimes.
Sure.
But, yeah, I do love Chicago. I don't know if I'd ever move away. That's the thing. I always wanted to go to Nashville, follow a lot of my friends down there, but I don't know, family and just growing up here and the comfort level here and everything that it offers, I just don't know if I would go.
Right. It's not like you live in some podunk town in the middle of nowhere where everybody fights and scratches to get out. I mean, you live in a large city with so much to do that every day isn't quite the same. You know?
Right, exactly. No, definitely.
So the new album, Echoes from the Prairies, why don't you tell me a little bit about that? Did you do all the songwriting for the album yourself?
Actually, no. So this is a pretty interesting story. I kind of collected a lot of different traditionals, jazz standards, and just kind of like some odd picks. Like there's a lot of different songs on there that are just kind of different. And I wanted to put it all together. And then I have a few originals as well on there. I have three originals. But because I had so many different lineup changes over the years since the first album, it was kind of hard for me to write. I got in a rut. So, but I did want to sing, you know, I wanted to make something. I wanted to do something. So, you know, some of these, you know, are Western swing. Some of these are blues. Some of these are jazz. So it was nice to do like some standards, like All of Me. And I actually did a Tom Waits song on here, Long Way Home. So I just wanted to kind of, it's like a potpourri. It's a potpourri of music, and this gives, you know, just a different flavor and style to what people have known me as.
All right. So where did you record the album at?
I recorded this album at Custom Recording Company, which is a small studio in Crete, Illinois, which is about 30 minutes south of me, so about an hour or so outside the city. And these twin brothers own it. And Aaron and Carl, they have a band themselves called Iron Horse. And they have this affinity and love for analog sound. And so they have collected all these different machines, you know, to basically kind of create a Sun record outside of Chicago.
Sure.
And it really creates this ambiance on the album. Like, you can hear it right when you put it in the record player, right when the needle drops on the vinyl, because it just creates this mood. And I just love how they captured what I was envisioning.
Awesome. So, you know, you said you had Zach play on the album. Who else did you have play that on the album?
So I also had new Chicago transplant Chris Casello, who is an amazing guitar player and steel player from Nashville, Tennessee. I met him down there when I would go and visit here and there. Carl played, owns the studio, he played bass for me, and then I had my own fiddle player. I had one of my locals, Janine. Janine played on fiddle for me, which was awesome. And yeah, so it was a pretty great little lineup. And I also had, I'm sorry, I almost forgot about Don. Don, I met through another bass player, and Don plays clarinet and saxophone.
Okay.
And he's actually like a klezmer, you know, clarinet player. And he just ripped it. He played with us at Moonrunners.
Okay.
And just tore it up. Like, oh, I just fall in love with him. And he can be at our record release too. So I'm super stoked about that.
Awesome. So one of the questions I like to ask artists is, you know, how do you measure success in your music career?
That's really a wonderful question to ask. I think that you really, like, that people are really interested in why you do it and are, you know, want to come and talk to you. Like, I'm excited about, I'm a talkative person. I like interacting with people. I'm a social butterfly. So when people come up and, like, you know, want to have a conversation about my music or ask me about what this song is about, then I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Right.
I mean, album sales, great. I'm doing vinyl. It's expensive. Please buy it. You know, great. That's going to show me that, you know, I'm making money and things like that. But really, the whole thing that we're in this for is emotion and the messages that are communicated and transmitted between listener and, you know, songwriter. So I think that I know that I'm successful when I'm going into new markets and I'm going to new places and people are really responsive. Like, when I can feel that something is buzzing or something is good here, then I feel happy. You know, it's not always, did I break even? You know, it's not always like, it's not always about that. It's about, you know, connecting with people. That's what it is. That's what music's about. That's why we go to fests. That's why we go to shows.
Exactly. So, you know, you said you had a lot of plans for 2015. Kind of run down what you have so far or what you're planning to do.
So I have a lot of emails out right now. So if anybody's listening that's a booker that wants to do something in late March, early April with me in the Midwest area, awesome, hit me up because I'm trying to fill in dates right now. And basically in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Minnesota, I'm trying to hit up as many as I can in the Midwest. And then, of course, going down to Nashville for the Nashville Boogie the first weekend of May. Super stoked that Jason Glass, somebody was putting that on at the Opryland. I've been talking with people that I met at like Viva and a lot of people from SoCal, and you know, they're like kind of tired, not necessarily tired, but they just want something new. They
sure.
want something fresh.
Sure.
Than necessarily Viva every single year of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people that like are going, and I talked to this one dude I had met at Viva that wore, you know, Moody suits and Jaime suits, all bedazzled, and I was just wowed by him. And I said, "Hey, are you going to the boogie? You should be." And he's like, "No, I don't think so." And then he messages me this morning when I'm leaving the gym. He's like, "Yep, I'm coming." There's too many people talking about it now. And I was like, "Yeah, it's going to be a great time. There's a great lineup." And so I'm super stoked to be going back to Nashville and playing there with my band from Chicago. I'm going down with the guys and gals that I play with up here. So they're all excited about getting to be able to go down there and play in Tennessee as well with me. So hopefully going out in June, like I said, out west, looking at doing SoCal and also going maybe to Arizona and maybe hit up New Mexico then, because I'll kind of be in the general region. So if you have listeners that are, you know, way in that far corner of the country, or anybody here in the Midwest, I'm looking to come to your town. So hit me up on the Facebook or, you know, whatnot on email. I'm totally excited to go to some new spots.
Awesome. And I think if you're looking for, you know, some Illinois dates, I'm sure we could probably get you a date in Pekin if you're coming through town.
Oh, hell yeah. I know. I need to get out to Iowa. And I know I'm going out to Iowa for a fest in May as well. So maybe we can do something. If not March, April, then definitely when I'm heading that way.
Yeah, because that was a fun time the last time you guys played here. You know, that was a fun lineup and a fun show that you guys played.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
It was. I think Ryan was playing drums for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Coming back from Farm Fest, so
yeah, that's what it was.
That was a lot of fun. We were on our, you know, festival high, you know,
yeah.
coming off.
Yep.
We were super stoked, and Miss Hannah Ray,
yep.
Was on festival, and that's the first time we met Mr. Brett Conlin.
Oh, yes.
So very excited to have met him and made that contact, because he's an amazing singer. We all love him.
We
so.
We call him the Heartland Heartthrob when he's on the show.
Well, big shout out to the Heartland Heartthrob.
Yeah. Oh, he'll just eat that up, you know. So, most importantly, where do folks go to get a hold of your new album, Echoes from the Prairie?
Echoes from the Prairie. You can find that. We'll be putting it up for pre-sale here, and it'll be available, you know, next Friday at my record release. But you can go to www.pearlsmahone.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, under Pearly Q. You can go to SoundCloud and take a listen to it right now. You can go to Reverb Nation. I'm all over the place. I'm on just about social media thing you can be on, trying to get heard. It'll be available on iTunes as well. And I'm trying to set up some sort of band camp thing. So I'm trying to get hip to the new stuff as well.
You always got to keep up, right? It seems like whenever you get good at something, that some other social media pops up.
That is the truth. That is the very, very much the truth, yes.
Well, Pearls, it was a pleasure to finally have you on. I'm sorry it took so long. It was way overdue.
It is no problem. I am just happy to be included. I'm glad I'm part of the group now.
There you go. I don't know if it's one of the groups you want to be a part of, but you know. So definitely you have to go over, knock on Joshy P's door, tell him that we said hi and that we miss him a ton.
Oh, I sure will.
All right, well, here's another song by Pearls off her new album. Go get it. We'll put the link to her website in the show notes. And take care, and hey, have a good winter. Get through it.
Thank you. I'm going to try. Thank you so much for having me on.
Got it. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.